So every summer, my family and I would spend 3 days in a car traveling from Berkeley, California, where we lived, to my father's hometown in Gretna, Louisiana. Now, we would travel through California, Arizona, New Mexico, Texas, Louisiana. We were all bonding well until we got to Texas, and that's when everything would get really stressful. It was the late 60s, and even though the Civil Rights Act had passed, it wasn't enforced. When my dad tried to get us a hotel room throughout Texas, even though the lights would flash vacancy, when he went in, they would tell him no vacancy. And so, you know, he was a very proud man, and he was determined to get to Louisiana, but he was tired. You could tell he was falling asleep, and my mother was just begging him to pull over so we could all get some rest. And when I heard about the Green Book, I remember thinking, boy, we could have really used one back then.
The Green Book was a travel guide published by Victor Green, a postal worker in New York. It was published from 1936 to 1966, and it listed restaurants, hotels, tourist homes, barbershops, beauty parlors. The Green Book was a 20th century version of the Underground Railroad. It was a network of safe spaces.
Philadelphia has 45 Green Book sites that still exist today, hiding in plain sight. Why don't we know that they're there? And how is their history being further obscured? I'm Annette John Hall. This is The Why. WHYY's Plan Philly recently organized a walking tour of some of those Green Book sites in Philadelphia.
Segregation wasn't just a Southern problem. There was a whole strong African-American culture in the city, but it was segregated from white culture to a great degree and in a way that we probably don't recognize in our daily life.
That's Plan Philly editor Ariella Cohen. She helped put together the tour and tagged along. Why did you do that? What did you hope to see?
Because it was a way, I think, for me to begin to understand and unpack a little bit about how racism continues to shape the city and how it created the city that we live in today in some ways.
So what was the tour like?
So Faye Anderson led the tour.
I believe they're starting on time. I'm a punctual person, you're a little punctual, and so they can catch up with us.
She's got a lot of titles. She's a writer, a community activist, a Billie Holiday devotee, a historian. She pays a lot of attention to Black cultural sites in Philadelphia. She had so many stories for us, which was good because I had brought my 3.5-year-old and my 1-year-old.
You two might have matching jackets on.
We do. We're matching.
Oh, my goodness.
Center City has great architecture, great historic buildings, and it turned out that many of these really just stately brick buildings had at one time been Green Book sites, had been sites of cultural importance to Black Philadelphia and to Black people visiting Philadelphia. So we saw jazz clubs, we saw hotels, we saw restaurants, and all of it, again, is this kind of hidden undercover history. Mm-hmm. You know, the Bellevue, for instance.
The Bellevue Stratford was first listed in the Green Book in 1952.
It's now a hotel, a sports club, a shopping center. It's a really grand building downtown. And it was at one time, part of it, I think, was a jazz club, and African Americans would stay there. So again, all of this is this undercover history. After starting at the Bellevue, we walked to the site of the Sound of Philadelphia building.
I know the Sound of Philadelphia building well. Years ago for the Enquirer, I did a big magazine piece on Kenny Gamble, who is the founder, one of the founders of TSOP. And I got a tour in through that building. And I mean, it looked like a snapshot in time, like in the 70s. There was this shag carpet all over the place. Framed gold records lined the walls, you know, because he had produced the OJs. And Phyllis Hyman. And
I think of how we planned to get married, saying love how I used to know.
Billy Paul.
Me and Mrs. Jones.
All of those wonderful acts. And they would call in musicians from the Philadelphia Orchestra to play strings on those sessions, because that was what distinguished TSOP from other R&B, was the lushness of its sound. And there was an actual little museum on the ground level.
I wish I could have seen it, but in 2014, a developer bought it from Kenny Gamble. There have been a lot of ideas for the site. Now there's another plan for it. When we walked by, they were prepping the site. There was a crane. People were doing some work on it. But it's basically a pile of dirt at this point. So Faye's not too happy about it. She thought it was going to be a museum for the sound of Philadelphia. It turns out it's going to be Art House, with an H-A-U-S. Is going to be super upscale residences, you know, 47-story tower, multi-million dollar condos. It definitely will be, in some ways, an attempt to preserve some piece of history and culture there, but not exactly the culture that Faye Anderson and others wanted to see preserved. And that was the same story with so many of the sites that we saw. So we continued down Broad Street. We came upon this former YWCA, Young Women's Christian Association. And it was this beautiful, stately brick building where African-American women visiting Philadelphia could stay.
It begs the question, why are Ys listed in the Green Book? Again, hotel options were limited for African-Americans. So the Ys across the country opened their doors and provided accommodations. And sometimes the only clean and safe place to stay was at a Y.
It was a community hub, too.
Marian Anderson, Paul Robeson, meeting with the young folks, being these role models. It was part of the lift as you climb.
YWCA serves this purpose of bringing people together, mm-hmm. creating a place for sports and music and culture and all of those things. But there's no way that you can really see that when you walk past now. It's, you know, a high-end residential building like so many other.
And I bet you the folks who live in there don't even know about its history.
Yeah, I would be surprised if most people did.
Is the building commemorated with anything, like a historical marker or anything like that?
No. You know, the owner kept the facade, so you can still see the inscription of the YWCA on the top of the building. But there's no historic markers and certainly nothing commemorating its role as a refuge and a place of sanctuary for African Americans.
When we come back,
because in time, the folks who were there, who know the story, they will no longer be alive.
This is The Why. I'm Annette John Hall. I'm talking to Plan Philly editor Ariella Cohen, who helped organize a tour of Green Book sites in Philadelphia. The Green Book sites were safe spaces for African Americans to go and visit during segregation.
We walked up onto South Street after the YWCA, and we went to the Royal Theater.
And the Royal Theater was once considered the most beautiful colored theater in the country.
Oh my God, the Royal Theater, Ariella, I remember going to a talk by Fayard Nicholas, and he was one half of the famed Nicholas Brothers, and they were known as the greatest dance act in the 1940s, and they're from Philadelphia, and he talked about how they always performed at the Royal Theater, along with people like Ethel Waters, and then later on,
Fats Waller, Bessie Smith, Cab Calloway.
Yeah, I think it was definitely the place to be. And, you know, when we walked by, everyone knew it. And there was just all these ties and sort of sentimental connections that people had to that whole block. A lot of spaces on that street that feel kind of informed and influenced by the culture that lived at the Royal Theater. And now that's changing. So right now, the facade is being preserved, but everything else has been demolished. The developer is going to build apartments there. It's probably going to be a beautiful place to live. But again, it will be very different than what was there before. In that preserved facade, there will be a restaurant on the ground floor. And so for the developer, that's one way to preserve the culture that lived there. It'll be a place where live music happens, where people perform. But definitely, it's going to be a different kind of place than the Royal Theater ever was.
I get, Ariella, that Philadelphia is in the middle of this huge development boom. But I'm wondering if there has been any effort to historically designate or preserve those spaces that meant so much to African Americans.
Faye Anderson talks a lot about the city should be doing more work to make these stories visible, whether it's putting up more signs, making sure the signs that are there are preserved, and just investing more particularly in Black history, because a lot of that history is particularly vulnerable.
For those 45 sites, I would love to see low-cost public art, a banner, a simple banner, which can be embedded with technology to tell the story of these places. Because in time, the folks who were there, who know the story, they will no longer be alive.
I think the hard part and the complex sort of question here is the physicality can stay, but if the culture and the people who are animating the space weren't there, what does that do? Mm-hmm. And how do you preserve the physicality of it, preserve the bones of the building, preserve these gorgeous structures while still creating space for the stories and the people that live there to kind of live and to have those experiences shared?
Ariella, as always, thanks so much for coming in and telling us about this really important piece of history.
Thank you, Annette. It was so interesting to hear your history and learn more about the Sound of Philadelphia. Now I just have to go and look up more of those pictures.
Yeah,
you know, I do really love shag carpet, actually.
That was Plan Philly editor Ariella Cohen. The Why is produced by me, Annette John Hall, along with Shai Binyakov, Alex Stern, and Kelsey Hansen, under the editorial direction of Katie Culinary. Hit me up on Twitter at AnnetteJH. And please drop a review wherever you get your podcasts. We really appreciate the feedback, and it helps get us known. Thanks for listening. See you Monday.